We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Well, good morning, everyone, wherever you may be. Alex McFarland here, and so honored to be sitting in for attorney, journalist, broadcaster Jenna Ellis. It's a great show we've got for you today. In just a moment, we're going to be talking with a sheriff from Ohio about the immigrant situation and some other issues that have been much in the news. But I do want to welcome you. If you recognize my name or my voice, it's probably from an American Family radio show called Exploring the Word that we've done now for 15 years. And I have the privilege of being a part of a lot of the AFR broadcast, and I'm so glad that you're here. You know, later on in the show, we are going to take telephone calls, and I'm going to eventually get to this question: if the election were held today, who would you vote for and why? President Trump is in the news this morning talking about the economy and talking about some measures to help alleviate credit card debt. And there are so many issues. I mean, it's almost like where to jump in. The Middle East, Israel, terrorism, so many issues here in America, domestic issues. But I'm very privileged that right now one of the issues that has been so much in the news and very much a serious issue for national security, for voter integrity, just really for the long-term stability of our nation, the issue of illegal immigration. And before I bring our guest on, let me say about 14 months ago, I was in Texas. I visited the border. I've visited the border before most of the people of the current administration visited the border, if they even have. And I know down in South Texas and Arizona, I was on a speaking tour in six cities, and I had law enforcement officials and mayors of small Texas towns, that many of whom listened to American Family Radio. They were saying to me, they were saying, Alex, the DOJ will not help us. We've got these illegals. Some have a rap sheet as long as your arm, and we can't get help from Washington about the border. Get on the radio and make this known. So illegal immigration, how many are in our country now? More than 8 million at least. Some say 20 million people. But to weigh in on this and help us get some actual eyewitness on the ground insights, Richard K. Jones. He's known as Jonesy to his friends. He's from Butler County, Ohio. We were talking before the show, seventh largest county in Ohio, population of 400,000 people. And he is in his fifth term as sheriff there in Butler County, Ohio, a great American serving the people. Sheriff Jones, I just want to say it's an honor to have you on the American Family Radio Network, and I appreciate you making time for us.
Hey, thank you very much, and to your viewers. Thank you for having me here.
Well, I want to hear a little bit of your story. Then I want to hear some specifics about Ohio. What led you into law enforcement? How did you get into this?
Pretty simple. My father was a police officer, and when I was in the second grade, I can remember getting up and using the restroom, second grade now. And I can remember my father coming in. He was a Hamilton police officer. He had a little blood on his shirt. And he was coming in to change his shirt. And right then and there, I saw my father in a police uniform and with the red blood on his white shirt. And he gave me a hug and gave me a kiss, told me to go back to bed. And I can remember that vividly. And I can remember the cologne or the that he had on. It was aftershave, men in aftershave. And same aftershave that I use. But smells bring you back to your childhood. But I knew right then and there I was going to be a police officer.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful. Smells really do bring you back. And we've talked about that before. You know, I remember, sir, growing up and in school, when I was like in elementary school, maybe once during the school year, a policeman would come and speak to our class and talk about what he did as a law enforcement officer. And I just remember being taught to respect authority, including law enforcement officials, and that we just knew if we were in trouble, a policeman would help us. Now, contrast that with, in recent years, the defund the police movement and just how in the press many denigrate law enforcement officers. I've known many. I want to say as a pastor and traveling preacher, I've known hundreds of law enforcement officials all across America, the vast majority of whom deeply love God and country. But talk to me about the morale, all of this. I think it's insanity, defund the police and bashing law enforcement. How is morale among your fellow colleagues in this climate that we live in now?
Very tough environment. When you have people that are talking about defund the police, taking away police officers' rights, the immunity to where they can be sued personally, their wives, their family, and they can take everything you have. But all these people that talk about defunding the police, these politicians, so-called politicians, they have police protection. They live in gated communities. They don't, usually their kids don't go to public schools. They don't shop. They have drivers. It's a bizarre thing. I want to say this, Al Sharpton, I don't agree with him on hardly anything. But I will say this about Al Sharpton. He says the most dumbest, stupid thing that you can do is defund the police. People that live in poor communities, African-American communities, want the police, need the police. They're afraid to come out of their house. So that's the only thing that I agree with Al Sharpton on. He says we don't need to defund the police. And right now, there's so much hate in our country, and people that aren't normally mad or angry, kids that are involved in assaults, school shootings, and they're on the increase. And what you need, we have police in the schools, we have metal detectors in the schools, we still have school shootings, and it's very difficult to recruit police.
I was going to ask that.
Young police officers go from job to job. How would you like to be to your listeners and to you, how would you like to be a police officer in a big city like Chicago, New York, Baltimore, to where, but these people that live in these big cities elect their representatives. They choose these people. And when you have immigration issues, and then you have, like in Springfield, Ohio, and then you have crime issues, the school issues. When illegals come into your school system, they come into the United States. There's 160 different countries that bring illegals into Mexico. Then they come across the border. I want to make sure you understand that. A lot of people just think there's 10 or 15 countries. 160 isn't all of them, but there's 160 countries that ship people to Mexico, and then one-way tickets. They fly in, and when they come in, they come across the border into Mexico, and in Ohio, There's a northern border, which is Canada, and all the resources, a majority of them are being shipped to the border in the south. And Arizona, California, Texas, and the resources are being pulled from Ohio and the Canadian border, Michigan. And I don't want to go on and on because I know you have questions, but I've been dealing with this topic before anybody has. I went to the border in the very beginning when President Bush, the last President Bush, was involved. The reason I got involved, because there was a 9-year-old little girl here in this my county jail that had raped a this illegal, raped a 9-year-old little girl that she was riding her bicycle. He convinced her to come into the house in the neighborhood close here to the jail, raped her, then sent her home with no clothes on her bicycle. Then he fled to Mexico. I got to looking into this. This guy had been in my jail before. They weren't deporting anybody. They would just come in and out of jail. And that's what started me. And when I started this, I was labeled as a racist, a bigot, a no good person. And the media was really on me hard. My other elected Republicans in this county, they wouldn't have anything to hardly do with me. They said, this will probably be your last term. But I had my ear to the ground. I knew what the public wanted, and I was correct. But that's how it started. Now, everybody, it don't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, 78%, I want to repeat this number, 78% of Americans want something done or think the border is broken. I've been to the border 3 times, Cochise County, the Tucson sector. I've seen it personally myself, all the way back to when I told you. And they told me then, the border sheriffs that I would visit, they told me then, they don't stay when they come across the border. They're coming to your hometown. Yeah. Every state is a border state right now.
Repeat that. That's a profound line. America, listen up. We're talking to Richard Jones, sheriff from Ohio. Every state is a border state.
Every state. And I want to tell you why. I visit Springfield, Ohio, population 50,000. They have 20,000 Haitians added to that, 20,000. And it's really tough on a community. Now, the businesses want to bring these people in that are here illegally so they can work in their places. And they're not here legally, and they want to bring them in to get the work done. They'll use the excuse, and they always have. Americans won't do these jobs. Well, they won't do them for free. And these people come in illegal. A lot of these businesses use their labor. They pay them under the table, or they know they have no rights. They can't complain. This is not the American dream when there's 6 families or 5 families living in a house and you have to hide in the shadows. And that's not the American dream. You're not paying into a retirement system and you have to hide in the shadows. Your kids go to school. The schools are overwhelmed. They have to have an interpreter in the schools. I don't care where you go. And there's so many different languages. You can't have an interpreter that speaks Spanish. You got to have interpreters that speak a lot of different languages.
Oh, yeah.
In a school that's already stressed for resources. They have trouble passing levies all over the country. And these people that come in illegally, their medical records, they have no medical records. No one knows what they've been vaccinated for. You have to assume they've been vaccinated for nothing. And they come in, they live in the shadows, and they're born here. If you're born here, you're automatically a U.S. citizen.
Sure.
But that's because of an antiquated law that came about during slavery. But our government, both parties, have not stopped this. When President Bush was in power, the last President Bush, he didn't do anything with it. They tried to do amnesty for everybody. That didn't go over well. Ronald Reagan gave everybody amnesty, or he said everybody would be a U.S. citizen, and that would end it. It got worse, and then they started pouring in again.
Yeah. You know, and I remember President Barack Hussein Obama, whenever anybody would plead with him to do something responsible and constitutional about the problem of illegals, he would say, and I quote, "That's just not who we are." In other words, as if the compassionate thing would be to continue to weaken the country. Hey, folks, we got to take a brief break. Alex McFarland here sitting in for Jenna Ellis. Our guest is Richard Jones, five-term sheriff from Ohio. Very honored to have him on. We're going to talk about the problem of illegals and what our government should be doing about it. Stay tuned. We've got a brief break. The American Family Radio Network is back after this.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Alex McFarland here. We're talking with Richard K. Jones, decorated law enforcement officer from Ohio. Sir, it's great to have you on. Are you okay for a few more minutes? I want to respect your time.
Sure.
Yeah,
yes,
thank
sir,
you
I'm
so
good.
Much. You know, the subject of illegal immigration, I mean, there's so many issues in this presidential election. I would argue this is one of, if not the foremost question that we need to be considering. And as you were saying before the break, George W. Bush and administrations in recent years have not really done anything about it. To what degree do you believe the problem of illegals has compromised national security, the welfare of taxpaying American citizens? Just how serious, how front burner of an issue is the problem of illegals?
Pretty simple. We've had, you just mentioned before the beginning of the show, the estimates are 12 million, 20 million. No one knows. Remember 9/11 wasn't that long ago, really?
Yeah.
I think it was 11 terrorists came into the United States and wreaked havoc on our country, the whole world. And right now, we have that many people here. We have no idea who they are. China sends them one way to Mexico, one way. You don't leave China because you want to. You leave because they want you to come here, military-age men. And I've been to the border. I've talked to the border sheriffs, who they've captured coming across. And then they have that's just the ones that they suspect. That doesn't count what they call the getaways. These are the people. I've seen it. I've seen them coming across. These are the ones that come across with backpacks, and Lord knows what they're carrying in their backpacks. You have to assume that we're under a threat. When the FBI comes on and says, Mr. Ray, the FBI director, and says, there's never been a more crucial time as far as the red lights going off on people coming into our country to do harm. And it's not 11. We've got close to 20 million people here. And the threats to the president, the threats to everybody, the threats to all of us. And they've got hits out on President Trump. They've got hits out on, Papayo or the guy that used to work? They've got hits out on him. They've got hits. They're talking about destroying America, death to America. It's a giant, serious threat. We've been hacked. Here at our sheriff's office, we've been hacked from from Russia. We were hacked about two years ago, totally shut us down. They wanted a ransom. We called the FBI. They said they don't recommend that you pay the ransom, but a lot of departments and large agencies pay the ransom because what they do is they threaten to release all your stuff. They destroy your computer system. It's cheaper to pay the ransom, we were told, than to have your stuff. And they threaten to release the information they have. So they released our information because we didn't pay the ransom, but they got the wrong Butler County. They released the information for Butler County, Pennsylvania. Sorry for them. We didn't pay the ransom. They are trying to hack every government agency, businesses in this country. And our government doesn't do anything. I don't care. TV agencies, TV groups. I know a large TV agency in the Cincinnati area, the Hamilton County, one of the largest counties in Ohio, they were hacked. And it's all people from other countries demanding ransom. And we are so out of touch. We here in the United States, our government doesn't do anything to help. They're letting these people come in. They won't stop it. There's a way to stop it. They don't want to deal with it, either party right now.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, Alex McFarland here sitting in for Jenna Ellis, and we're talking with Richard K. Jones, a renowned sheriff from Ohio. And folks, I don't use this word lightly. I don't use this word lightly, but I'm going to use the word treason, because I've been to the border, Texas and Arizona, and I'm going to share a story, Sheriff, and I want your response to it. But look, I think that it is absolutely intentional. And folks, we've got an election in under 50 days. And look, I know there are a lot of issues at play. People have very emotional reactions. But I would plead with the American people, for one thing, to pray for God's intervention on behalf of our country. But I beg of you to vote and vote rationally and reasonably, if for no other issue, the issue of illegals. Listen to this, Sheriff Jones, if you would. In my home state of North Carolina, I've been privileged to know a number of law enforcement officials. I've been privileged to know, interestingly, a number of district attorneys across America. I do a lot of traveling. So I got a call from the DA of Alamance County, which is a county, 45 minutes from the state capital of Raleigh. Okay, there was a carload of immigrants that turned out to be illegal immigrants, and they the gentleman driving was drunk, crossed the center line. There was a horrible car wreck. A couple of American citizens were killed. So the DA in Alamance County is prosecuting this case. This is what this man told me, and I would say this person was a person of unimpeachable integrity. Attorneys from New York City came. They didn't know who they were, but they defended this van load of illegals that caused a horrible drunk driving accident, fatalities involved. Anyway, these attorneys came, and the DA's office of Alamance County was told, do not prosecute any DUIs against illegals until further notice. Well, the DA said, look, we'll prosecute any DUI in Alamance County, North Carolina, legal, illegal. You drive drunk or stoned or high in this county, you get prosecuted. So this DA eventually lost his job a year ago because that they said he was a racist for prosecuting illegals that are apprehended for driving drunk. And here's what he said to me. Now, I'm not going to divulge too much because he instantly was offered a DA position in another county, very respected district attorney. But my point is this. When Washington is telling localities around America, do not prosecute illegals who break the law, why, in the name of all that is sane and rational, would this administration do that to the court system and law enforcement officials around our nation? Why?
It's pretty simple. They want your morals to be what Washington, D.C.'s morals are. Believe me, not much morals go on in that big, corrupt area where they have all these bureaucrats that control all these people you elect, and they all drink the same water, and they want to make us believe what they believe. And if you don't believe it, like, let me give you an example. Hillary Clinton said anybody that votes for President Trump needs to have some reprogramming. And she also said, and you look at some other people that said they hate anybody that supports President Trump. They hate that Howard Stern. I don't listen to his stuff, but he said he hates anybody that's going to vote. And Hillary Clinton said we should all be reprogrammed. I don't care what Hillary Clinton thinks at all.
Right.
And I think, hey, listen, for somebody that is as corrupt and mean and a terrible person as she is, and she's a hypocrite. I know this is a Christian radio station and TV, so I'm not going to tell you what I would tell the federal government if they told me not to arrest somebody drinking and driving. I don't care if you're the president's son, oops, or somebody else. You're going to, in this county, our prosecutor is going to prosecute you. And exactly. If you come here and your name is Biden and you sell drugs, buy drugs, get guns illegally, guess what? You're going to get prosecuted. And they can come down with these big fancy attorneys from New York City and we'll take them to the cleaners. People in this community don't put up with that. We have enough issues here, and we have illegals here that come mm-hmm. in, the illegal aliens. They've not made me stop saying that. Listen, they come here illegally. They commit crime. I have over 1,000 illegals in my jail in the past 3 years that have committed 2,000 crimes. I've had one that was deported 8 times and murdered somebody 8 times. And I could go on with the drunk drivers that have killed people in my county. And I want to tell you and your listeners this. If you don't think it's in your community, I've been to small communities all over the country. Their schools have increased. If you're on the highway, their arrest that they bring people in, they have to have interpreters. Your jails have these people. If you're driving anywhere, just not in your community, on vacation, we have over, just in the United States, we've had over, here in Ohio, we've had 5,000 people killed with fentanyl poisoning. In the United States, we've had 100,000. In the United States, those drugs, that's just that, those drugs. And when they're out driving on the little highways and they're running these drugs up and down, listen, we're all vulnerable. You can be killed. You can be run over. You can be, if they think that you're looking at them in a funny way. And I'm not making any of that up. I'm not trying to scare people. This is the most important election in my lifetime. And I don't want to quote the Pope, but the Pope said the other day, you can vote for two of the evils. But I think that was an endorsement, I'm not for sure, for Trump. Because he said you can vote for somebody that kills babies and is okay with killing babies, or you can vote for somebody that doesn't let illegals into the country. So I think that was a backhand endorsement for Trump, I think, but I could be wrong.
And I like the way you think.
Not everybody likes the way I think, but I get elected pretty easily here. And I'm well known all over the country because I say what I think. I've made arrests and done things with illegals that are here that the federal government has actually testified against me in lawsuits. It almost makes you sick. But listen, I stay strong. I never forget where I came from. I pray every day, and I believe in God, and I believe God brings us poor leaders so we will appreciate good leaders. And I believe that right now we're in a terrible situation, and I believe that we've got to stay strong. We've got to take our country. Whether Trump tweets mean tweets, or I made more money on my IRAs and my retirement system, my groceries were cheaper. Mm-hmm. We had respect all over the country, all over the world, and it was because they respected our country. We have no respect now, and we have a leader that is not a leader. He's not even there. And 4 months ago, I don't want to get too much into politics. I don't know what you preach.
Hey, man, you're doing great.
But when you have somebody that goes out and with the abortion issue, and they want to abort babies that are actually born healthy babies, and they talk about it, or they won't talk about it. They won't be interviewed by the media or any. Yeah. It's almost like the way President Biden got elected. They hid in the basement and what they call the basement strategy. But that's not the first time a presidential person has done that. Carter done the same thing. He called it the Rose Garden. campaign. People that don't remember.
You were talking about abortion, though. I mean, to my knowledge, the first person that ever used this term, Hillary Clinton, introduced into the vernacular the term, God help us, post-birth abortion. That's infanticide. That's murder. And I tell people this. I'll say, look, if you'll murder an innocent baby, I wouldn't put anything past you. People have said to me, do you really think Barack Obama, has animosity against America? Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris? I said, look, if you'll kill a baby, you'll do anything. I feel like if your whole raison d'etre is to make sure that there is no legal protection for the unborn, you'll vacuum an innocent baby out of a mother's womb, and that is your whole political reason for being, you don't have a conscience, you know. But I want to ask you.
Can tell you this. If there is a baby born in this county and is a healthy baby born, and the mother tells the doctor she doesn't want the baby and the doctor kills that baby, I will arrest them myself. And I'm not speaking for my prosecutor. That's murder. And yeah. I don't care where you live, what you do. And for anybody to say that that's not murder, I pray for you every day.
Indeed. Indeed. So I got to ask you this before time fleets away. Have Haitian immigrants eaten people's pets or small animals?
It makes for funny memes they're doing that. I never seen so many stories with on cats and dogs. I've talked to people that have the sheriff. That's Clark County, has responsibility for the county. That city is Springfield, is in her county, and the people that live there are saying that. Some people are. The leaders in that place say, no, it's not true. I've been there once when I stopped to a TV show, but I don't know that. But here's what I tell people. That Haitians believe in different religious activities.
Sure.
Some of that is sacrifice.
Sheriff Jones, forgive me. We're almost out of time. I've got to have you back in the future. You're a blessing. Godspeed, my friend. Thank you for your time this morning.
God bless you and your listeners.
Folks, stay tuned. We're going to come back and we're going to take your calls about the election. 888-589-8840. Call us.
If ending babies' lives in their mother's womb isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. In a shocking stance, the Democrats' vice presidential nominee, Tim Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you are pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds is $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a full day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR, preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Alex McFarland, very honored to be sitting in for attorney broadcaster Jenna Ellis. Hey, by the way, there is a big event Saturday, a prayer rally, and I'm quite privileged to be the keynote speaker Saturday, the historic Carolina Theater in Greensboro, North Carolina, 12 to 2 this Saturday. It's a pretty famous theater in Greensboro. Like the Three Stooges performed there decades ago. Judy Garland would go there and sing. But there's a big prayer rally, and it's praync.org, as in North Carolina, praync.org. And I'd love to see you there if you can make your way to Greensboro. We're just going to pray, and there's just thousands of people from all strata. We're going to pray for this election. But I want to ask you, and by the way, you can find out my tour schedule and everything that we have going on at alexmcfarland.com. I also wrote a Faith and Freedom Voters Guide. Now, we partner with iVoter Guide, Debbie Wuth now. I know the American Family Association. We heartily endorse iVoter Guide. But I wrote a thing, and there's a downloadable PDF on my website, alexmcfarland.com, for first-time voters. And it's nonpartisan. It's nonpartisan. But as a citizen, what do you consider when you vote? And I've one of the ways that I've ministered over the years, I've taught political science for 10 years, and I teach on the philosophical foundations of the U.S. Constitution. It's just an area of interest for me. The website, by the way, pray-nc.com. I misspoke. It's not .org. Pray, pray-nc.com for the big prayer rally this Saturday. But if you would check out alexmcfarland.com/vote, and there's a downloadable bulletin insert for your church. I've printed up thousands of these voter guides, a resource for first-time voters or anyone seeking biblical voting perspectives. But right now, here's my question for you. If the election were held today, September 19, 2024, who would you vote for and why? I'm going to open up the phones. We're going to go to Lynn in Arkansas. The number, by the way, 888-589-8840. Who would you vote for if it were today, and why? But Lynn in Arkansas, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Yeah, I would vote for Trump. And I was going to say that people in this area, people are flooding into this area, and there are, like, plants and stuff, you know, chicken plants, et cetera. But when you're out and about, sometimes I see people that are like in ethnic clothes that, you know, they just stand out. And one day I was driving and I saw a lady walking on the side of the street with something on her head like they do in Africa.
Yeah.
And anyway, I've heard that realtors and, you know, people in control of cities, they hide the crime because they don't want people to know what's going on, so people won't move there. And they're really heavily building here, and seems to be changing building restrictions, putting apartments next to houses and stuff like that.
Right.
Anyway, that's what's going on here.
Exactly. And I want to say, folks, and Lynn, thank you very much. I travel a lot. For 25 years, I've spoken in 25 to 30 sometimes as many as 35 American states in 1 year. Those that have kind of followed me, you know I'm always on the road, and I'm seeing this all around America, and I think it's intentional. I think the Democrats have done this. They've spent years bringing in illegals. I mean, my goodness, you know, nice neighborhoods where they'll put up subsidized housing, and they're intentionally trying to create this welfare state full of illegals. All they care about is, look, when people get government money, you know they're going to vote for the pipeline to stay open. And that we know there are countless thousands of people on the voter rolls. You go get a license at many a DMV, you're automatically registered to vote. It's treason, folks, and it is unjust against taxpaying American citizens, regardless of where you stand spiritually or even morally. My goodness, just as a citizen who wants leaders that will advocate for the welfare of you as a citizen, the immigration problem, I think, would shape your vote. But Monty in Virginia, Monty in Virginia, welcome to the program, and talk to us about your assessment of the political and cultural landscape.
Thank you, Alex. I just real quickly am trying to find raise the money for you and Bert Harper, or any of that staff that Tupelo, Mississippi, and Greensboro, North Carolina, to come to Culpeper. We are ripe for revival, and we are 70 miles from D.C., and then we are 90 miles from the state capital, one of the richest, most beautiful agricultural regions. And I would vote for you for president if you were interested. How about that?
Bless you, sir. Bless you, sir. You know, it's interesting. In my home state of North Carolina, on a couple of occasions, people have asked me to consider running for this or that office. You know, I'll tell you the funny thing, Monty. I have debated a lot of atheists at a lot of universities, and I guess I'm kind of weird because when I've been screamed at by hundreds of college students, when I've had college professors throw the middle finger at me, believe it or not, like, this peace comes over me. And I do love to speak truth to audiences, so maybe I'm just a little bit off, but the idea of being screamed at and yelled at in the cause of telling the truth, interestingly, that appeals to me. Now, let me say about Culpeper. Bert and I would love to come to Culpeper. Folks, if Bert Harper and I, we've done kind of speaking tours around America together. We do a lot of speaking individually, but if you want Bert and or Alex to come to your locality, just email us word@afr.net, W-O-R-D, word@afr.net. But Monty, let me ask you this. If today were election day, who would you vote for and why?
Well, I've been a precinct captain for the GOP for 10 years in my earlier days. We've got 8 children. Donald Trump is absolutely, positively, hands down, a business leader that studies how to help people all over the world. It doesn't matter their background, their nationality. It's about taking America and making it safe and blessing us with one of the most wonderful Christian nations in the world when we follow the love of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. I hear you. Well, let me say thank you for serving as a precinct captain and, you know, volunteering your time, because it's persons like yourself that are trying to help us have an honestly tabulated election. Thank you for what you're doing. David in Virginia. David, if the election were today, for whom would you vote and why?
I would vote for Donald Trump. And the reason why is because he was already president once, and he did a lot of what he said he was going to do, and he would have done more if the enemy wasn't against him every single minute of the day. And Kamala Harris and that regime are liars, and they're killing babies, and that's just, it's disgusting.
Yeah. Think about this. Hey, when Kamala Harris was DA in San Francisco in 2004, 2005, she performed gay weddings, she broke the law, and she was on record saying this was the proudest moment of her legal career. Later on, and this is before the Obergefell decision in 2015 that legalized gay marriage, of course, in the eyes of God and the Constitution. And by the way, the philosophical foundation of the U.S. Constitution is natural law, so really, gay marriage is still illegal in a logical sense in light of the U.S. Constitution. But folks, think about this. Do we really want a president who says the proudest moment of their legal career was doing things that were illegal? I mean, as DA in San Francisco, Kamala Harris was breaking the law, violating the Constitution, and that's her proudest moment as an attorney. David, good point. Good point. We've got time fleets away. Tevia in Texas. Tevia, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, sir, you are.
Good morning. If the election were held today, who would you vote for and why?
Okay, I would vote for Donald Trump because like you mentioned earlier today, the right for the unborn unborn is very important, right? We have to preserve life, right? And also, in regards to the reason why he wants to reform the Department of Education, because that is important, because they're teaching children in public schools things that are not supposed to be taught. They're supposed to learn math and arithmetic, right, and reading and writing, not ideologies at school.
Well said. Well said. And do you know what, on the issue of the unborn, I always say this, and folks, listen very carefully to this, because quickly the left will say that the pro-life justices on the Supreme Court undermine a woman's right to health care. That is such sophistry. By the way, the term sophistry is using words in a duplicitous way. It's grammatical trickery. Here's what we say about the abortion issue. And really, this is language from an atheist. The late Christopher Hitchens, who was a friend and a colleague, and I shared the gospel with him. Where he landed spiritually in an ultimate sense, I don't know. But Hitchens became very pro-life. And here's what he said. He said, the U.S. Constitution guarantees the right to life for all human beings. Therefore, we have legal protection for the unborn. So I've often asked Democrats, they'll say, so we have legal protection for the unborn. Is that right or wrong? And, you know, very often they'll brazenly say, oh, it's wrong. Really, there should not be legal protection for the unborn? So why piecemeal do we selectively say some humans have rights and some humans don't have rights? I mean, you know, to say some humans should not have human rights, well, get in line right behind, you know, Hitler and the Holocaust, Mao and Pol Pot, because that's been characteristic of dictatorships throughout history, that human rights are selectively meted out. No, the Constitution, and JFK would have said this, RFK would have said this, LBJ, Joe Lieberman, there have been Democrats that understood the Constitution and recognized there are human rights for all. The rights of man come not from government, but from God, said JFK. The role of government is not to give you rights, but to guard the rights you've already been given by Almighty God. The Constitution guarantees the rights of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Therefore, we have legal protection for the unborn. Folks, that should shape how you vote, really. Jim in Mississippi, if the election were today, who would you vote for and why?
Well, I would have to be delusional not to vote for Trump at this point. You mentioned so many talking heads talk about abortion and never refer to the protective language in the preamble of the Constitution of securing the blessings of liberty to posterity. That's a mystery of why so many gifted Christian conservative communicators can't square with that language to offer the protection and direction and protection for the unborn. That's a mystery.
Yeah. You know, I wrote an article about a month ago about the preamble. Let me read this, folks. And by the way, I'll be on today's issues at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Central. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Folks, just like Jim, I'm glad you brought this up. All right, here's the thing, folks. The Declaration and the Preamble and the Constitution and the 27-point Bill of Rights, you have two choices. One candidate supports the Constitution that we've been under 248 years. The other candidate does not. In fact, the left says the Constitution is the problem. Our nation hangs in the balance. I beg of you, pray, be informed, and vote. Alex McFarland here, so honored to sit in for Jenna Ellis. We're about out of time. May God bless you. Thank you for listening to the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.